We are.
Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. Well, we can be heard finally. We've had a couple attempts at broadcasting this morning. And anyway, finally, it's successful. What's really strange about this, Neil, you don't know what's going on here in the technical aspect of what I've been doing, but I did schedule this episode for an hour and a half because of the technical difficulties we have. Now, we're not going to be on the air for the amount of time that's remaining, which is like an hour and 15 minutes. It'll be a shorter show today, probably because of our time constraints. But what's really bizarre is that when I started the show, it wouldn't play the music. Remember, I've been trying to call in and use Direct Connect. Well, it just played music and I was talking over it. So I apologize to everybody. But
do we have callers?
We have one. I mean, Deanna's on the line. She's been very helpful letting us know about what she's heard on her end. But no, we've lost all our callers. So it's very frustrating.
So no one knows really. We're on the air, right?
I don't know. I'm going to have to go into Blog Talk Radio and our show is showing us on the air. Of course, under our profile name, it will be showing on the air or at least waiting for host to call in because it seems like the cache is not updating on Blog Talk Radio. But as far as being listed in Spirituality as live, that's been a problem for us too when having to use the go live feature. Here we are now, and we're continuing our conversation about karma, what is fact, what is fiction. And for a brief overview, we did a show on Monday, and our basis, our inspiration for the show was an article that I saw online, and it's a woman who had connected with her brother after he died, and he is he was a recovering heroin addict, and he died I don't know if he was driving drunk, but in an automobile accident. I don't know if he was the passenger or the driver, but I know there was alcohol involved. Anyway, after 3 weeks after his death, he began appearing to this woman supposedly and sharing all the secrets of the universe and informing her that really we're our own judge and karma is really what we create, has nothing to do with a higher law, and essentially we're collaborating with guides and angels and spirits on how we're going to map out our lives. So I just thought this article is somewhat controversial, and a lot of people are supporting it and posting it, which is why I saw it. And I just wanted to it's a bit of a rebuttal to the article and some clarification. But Neil, before we were when we were on the air before and we were not being recorded, we were talking about your expertise on being on karma, on the laws of the universe, how things work on the other side. So could you repeat what you said earlier? Because
we were discussing this.
I started laughing because I realized we weren't even being heard.
Since we're mentioning the word karma, really karma itself is the law of moral causation. It's a fundamental doctrine in Buddhism, and it was prevalent in India before the advent of the Buddha. But karma in and of itself is really... karma's root, the word itself, we get caught up in that word, but it's really about consequence, that we are responsible and we have consequences for our actions. So whether we're dealing with Buddhism, Judaism, Christianity, Islam. We all have Islam. my tongue
is not working.
We all, the subject matter is that our actions, we have to be accountable for our actions. And our actions take on a code or a motive of ethical standard. So we get into this idea that what we do, what is the cause of what is the result of our actions? How do those actions permeate into our body? Are they so disagreeable or disgusting enough that they get into our soul, assuming that we are under the premise that we have a soul? And then how does that soul hold the karma for whatever existence that soul goes into after death? So, and then we have the idea too that we have instant karma, immediate karma, meaning that our karma comes back to us within our lifetime. Have karma that follows us further deeper in time.
And if it's instant karma, it further compounds the karma we already came into the earth with, which makes that karma more dense and difficult to get through.
Mm-hmm. And when the body leaves the planet, when we leave our bodies in the planet, you were talking about this episode of her brother or her son?
His brother.
The soul, the body is gone, and the soul envelops the existences, all the existences it had. But it's a little bit questionable that someone who had so many problems on the planet leaves the planet and is now an inspired spirit telling the earthlings how to live and the conduct.
Exactly.
Sometimes what I've experienced with some souls is that they do come back to the planet on a low level, very, very base level.
You mean in terms of coming back, not in the body, but to communicate?
No, coming back. In other words, a person who had a high standard can come. There's situations that I've experienced, talking to spirits and guides, where people have come back to the planet and took on more of a baseline existence.
Oh, I see.
More degrading than what they were previously experiencing. It's not common, but some souls venture back into the earth to experience the depth of darkness. Even Christ on the cross, he took on the assault of sins. On the cross, he became the embodiment of sin because he had to take it in to and release and become, quote, the savior of mankind. So it goes to follow that sometimes we have to experience the depth and the darkness of existence in order to understand it. Not in all cases. And enlightened souls more than not planet and transcend the planet and move on. But whether this being inspired and spiritual is, you know, that's hard to define. That's hard to prove. And there are imposters.
That's what I was going to say, because this woman, Annie, I'm not saying her name, but anyway, she's been identified by one of our listeners because this person actually bought the book, hasn't read it.
First name.
But whatever. And this is an older article, actually. You know, these articles get recycled and recycled and recycled. So I think it was printed in January in On Times. But apparently, you know, she's a columnist in On Times. And I guess the concerning thing to me is that her history, you know, I think people are free to reinvent themselves, of course. But she has no history being a psychic, a medium, nothing. And now she's communicating with the brother. As I said to you, when I saw the article, I said, who knows if it's her imagination? It could be her imagination. She could be communicating with a demon.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's very possible. Like you said, they're imposters. And, you know, I think it's very misleading to state that, you know, we're our own judge and jury. I mean, wouldn't it be great? But if we were, and if we chose and wrote all our life circumstances, as she stated, I mean, first of all, as we said in our last show, it presents a huge problem. I mean, everybody has to be on your level in terms of the collaboration of what's going to go on. It's like you have to agree with every player in your life about what's going to occur between all of you. First of all, if you're writing your own circumstances. So that seems to be a bit, would be a bit challenging one.
I kind of, you know, the principle of karma can be reduced to the principle of pure logic. I mean, I have a kind of a trinity of thinking here that our conduct is basically derived from a triad of thought, word, and deed. So we have thought, we have word, and we have deed. We have mental, verbal, physical. All of those aspects, we have to act and be responsible. All of those three layers, whether it was even a thought can be a sense of condemnation. If you even think purely on an evil level or on a level that is the antithesis of humanity, you've committed some form of crime within the soul. And purely, no one is perfect. No one, no living being, no human living being is perfect. We have saints and we have people that we, in our respective religions, define as perfection.
Well, saints aren't perfect necessarily, but they're, you know,
no,
higher
but
beings.
When we have heads like Jesus would be considered to Christians, Jesus would be considered perfect. God,
that's right.
God, him herself is considered perfect.
Right. These are
concepts in the embodiment too of perhaps, and in many cases, whether your belief pattern is, whether it's metaphorical or whether they're literally people that walked on the planet that had this identity, there is this sense that there is a unity between mind, body, verbal language, that there is perfection. And short of that, we get into the consequence that we either have to be saved or washed or redeemed, or aside from that, we get into the concept that we have to be responsible for our actions, and we have this concept of what is considered karma, consequences. And so in that respect, I think that we don't even have to look at the word karma. What we have to look at the word is evidence. What is the evidence that we have that in most cases, if you commit a crime, you get punished, or at least the system is worked out that way?
At least on the planet. Of course, we're talking about the planet. That's judgment of our planet. I mean, it's
sure.
Well, no, some people argue that this is a method in controlling human behavior. Mm-hmm. That the people that disagree that karma exists on a higher level.
Well, let's face it. We don't live in a world that is where there's just uncontrollable behavior. Forget it. We don't live in that world. We can conduct ourselves as though we live in that kind of a world, but there's going to be consequences for that on some level. And for those who get away with crime, well, there's exceptions. Yeah, you can get away with crime, but then we get into the language of the soul. So if you get away with something, is there an afterlife? Well, I guess if you're an atheist and you say, well, no, there isn't an afterlife. There isn't any moral judgment or soul judgment. You live and you die and that's it, period. Or you become energy or something. There's no identity to who you are or who you've been. You're just an energy, or you just, people will say, you just disappear, you're just gone. Well, then the idea is, you know, we get more into this aspect of existentialism, and we get into the energy of what of a godless universe, a disorganized universe, or maybe there's an organization to it, because it's got to be some kind of organized system to our and things like this. So we have to distinguish then where does the moral element come from?
Right. And I think a lot of the complaints, I read several reviews online about the book. I myself read it, but a lot of the complaints were, where is the accountability for this guy who obviously had a checkered past? And, you know, now he's up there saying, well, you know, it wasn't a big deal. And life is, you know, don't judge yourself too harshly. You know, it's not a big deal. However you live is planned, but yes, you have some free will. Well, I mean, it's
that kind of logic. I mean, if somebody shooting up heroin says to me, hey, it's nothing, just go ahead, you'll love it. It's the same person that says, yeah, jump off the cliff, you know, you'll land okay. I mean, you have to be an idiot to follow not only worldly conversation, but you can also be an idiot and follow what is considered spiritual conversation, even though the messages may seem wrapped up in pretty packages of that anything goes, everything happens, do what
that's
you want.
That's kind of the message here.
And so
yeah,
therefore,
I think,
you know, our child rapists, people who are committing any of his crimes, I mean, it's all okay, you're fine, do whatever you want. Well, it's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous concept, not to say that people don't practice that concept, but to say that we can do whatever we want is, to me,
right.
I mean, you have to be somewhat psychotic to believe that you could do whatever you want. Doesn't mean to say that you can't carry out an action that is harmful to others, but to say that that's the law of the universe, you know, that then we just live in a world of insects.
I want to pull something out of this article that was written. When I was alive, I was a drug addict who couldn't overcome my addiction. This is him talking. But now here I am bringing comfort and truth to anyone who cares to listen. So take a moment before you judge yourself. What is wrong with me today? It's like adding an S to every H to every S. Judge yourself, not your shelf, too harshly. You know, whatever. I mean, it's just, to me, it's very damaging when people start to speak on topics like this and then give people, you know, an excuse to, you know, act in whatever way they want because they think, well, there's no consequences rather for our actions. And we can just, you know, it's just a free for all. Not to say that karma should be, the fear of karma, you know, should be I don't think people should live in fear of their actions because of karma. I mean, we should have higher principles based on being higher minds. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the question in terms of Buddhism or in terms of karma or really in terms of kind of a religion itself, question is on the death of a sentient being. After all, I'm a psychic, and by theory of nothing else, I talk to beings from the other side. Maybe some people will say I'm psychotic. That's their privilege. But I've never heard. I mean, there are souls that seem to wander about freely. But these are they're souls of two ways. That one, that I've seen elevated souls that have the freedom to wander about, and they're wonderful, blessed energies. And I've seen dangerous, dark souls that are running about, just like on the planet. Basically, you can have criminals running around doing what they want until they're caught, and you can have good, law-abiding citizens on multi layers of conduct. They're under the jurisdiction of higher spirits. And that's where the conduct and the behavior thereafter receives its motions.
Because if we talk about the ultimate level of transcendence, it's about becoming one with spirit, which is a very, very high vibration. So, you know, even when we transcend from the body and we go into the soul realm, I mean, we're interacting with other souls. There's, you know, angels, guides, people that have left the planet. Sometimes, you know, people come back. Sometimes people transcend into that soul realm, but there are many levels. And so to think that we can rise to this highest level of unity with God and spirit, which is, you know, beyond our comprehension. Mm-hmm. From a place where we can't even get through the trials on the earth is absurd to me.
Well,
you've got to get through this test and, you know,
yeah,
before you can move into that, the highest, yeah, level. Why would we want, you know, murderers and rapists, you know, in that, I mean, how would it be this,
Well, one part of that topic is how we perceive our walk, whatever it is on the planet, in terms of our connection to our fellow human beings. What is our conduct to those people? How do we respond, not only on an individual relationship, in our individual relationship within ourselves, but with our fellow human beings? How do we go about that energy? And I kind of look at, and according to the traditionalists in this form of thought, we have different ideas as to what makes up a human being, the physical conduct. You know, do you obey the laws? Do you have a job? Are you responsible? Things like that. And how well do you treat others? Are you honest? Are you fair in your dealings with others? Does your work promote the welfare of the planet? All of this is very important. When we get into the idea of the soul, where we get more into the concept too of karma, we're getting into what I think are very measurable and considerable aspects of one's conduct on the earth. We get into how well we use our creative power, our divine ear, how well we have that divine ear, our knowledge of other people's thoughts, which is ultimately an altruistic thought. And then, you know, for those of us who are mind readers, how do we utilize that language? Then there's the knowledge of one's past experience, as well as the divine eye, our third eye, which is very omniscient and sees all. And the closer we get into touch with those things and the more accurate we are, I think the closer we get into the idea that we are in close association with God and receiving information on that level. Now, how do we do that contrasting thing, that duality, where someone who is very dark in their lifetime becomes an enlightened soul on the other side? That's hard to define. I mean, I've seen cosmic classrooms where dark souls go into a classroom. It's like the prisoner that goes to jail and becomes enlightened. One of my favorite movies was The Birdman of Alcatraz. A terrible figure. He was a murderer, and yet he became this. He became a man that had a connection to birds. And he saved birds. He was an authority on birds. He was well spoken. He became into a higher being. It's possible.
It's possible, but it would take a certain reduction of karma while on the earth to get to that place. I mean, you know, you can go up with a little bit of karma and stay up if you go to resolve it in certain.
Someone who's crossed over, who eliminates the consequences of human action, to me, is not a legitimate source of energy. I think that when you cross over and you're in an enlightened space, you can speak about that space. But to come back to the planet and say, hey, you can do anything you want, guys, that's the story down on your planet. And I just got news that that's what it is absurd. It's absurd, and it would create nothing but more chaos and corruption than what we've already got.
And I dare say she's probably creating karma for herself by, you know, misrepresenting what's going on in the universe. So,
yeah.
Okay, so we've got one caller, and it's Deanna, because no one knows on the air. Our show isn't even listed as on the air on Blog Talk Radio. It's wonderful. So we have one listener today. Oh. Bear with us, Deanna. I am refreshing my browser because this is like annoying. Okay, trying again. Are you there?
I did hear that. And I just typed it in there. I'm refreshing my browser. That's when you came back.
Oh, so you were, how much of the show have you heard?
Okay, for about a minute or a few seconds less or more, four times you've gone out during the time that you've been back on. And I've let you know that on the, you know, on the message box.
Oh, thank you. I'm trying not to type because I have...
Neil went out when he was talking about the Birdman of Alcatraz and how he communicated with the birds, and then it went out. And within a minute, it came back in.
Hmm.
Then it went out again. It's like some kind of interference is acting on the programs.
It's weird, and you know, we were trying to dial in today, and it wouldn't even allow us on. We got a busy signal, and then, you know, like all circuits are busy, and then... weren't even showing up as I told you.
Yeah, yesterday I tried calling someone as well, and I would get circuits are busy.
It's just, and unfortunately, what's happened at Blog Talk Radio, there used to be support available like regular business hours from 8 in the morning till 9 or 10 at night. And now the help desk is only available for like 5 hours a day, and it's, I think, 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific time. So it's like 5 to 10 Eastern. And, you know, obviously our show's not done at that hour, and it's very difficult to get assistance when we're trying to broadcast. So anyway, but you're here now. So I'm sure you've got a question.
Yeah, if you are contacting the help desk, I don't know if Alan Levy is still the CEO, but I would just send a letter to him and DVDs or whatever, showing him what's going on.
Yeah, Yeah, I agree. I mean, we've got a message in for a callback into one of the higher ups there, the head of community, but we haven't heard a response yet. So yeah, you're probably right. I should draft a letter and send it to several of the head people because, you know. It's frustrating when you spend a lot of time promoting the show and then the link that I've posted in like all the groups we belong to isn't even, it's not active anymore. So, and now we're, you know, they have a problem with the cache where the show is not even showing, like it's not even showing that it's on. So no one knows we're having a show right now. They can't just go into Blog Talk Radio and see our show.
I think they're expanding ad infinitum and they're complicating things. When it first began, like when I first started listening, it must have been around 2009, you could, even in the menu of the programs, you could go like days into the future, days into the past. It was much
easier. I know.
User-friendly.
I thought so too. I loved it. I loved it because I was a listener too before I hosted.
You know, I'm really happy it existed because it saved my life. It gave me hope and the reason to keep on going. And but it has become user unfriendly for the.
You should write a letter too, because I'm sure they'd like to
hear that once. Yeah, I only did that once, and that was a long time ago. And it was, there was this person that I could only connect to the phone because my computer did not have a voice, and the person would keep disconnecting you because they would only take calls the last 15 minutes, so I couldn't hear the show.
Oh.
But they wouldn't even ask you or anything. And I was, so I just wrote it that time and that was it. But it has become more complicated for anyone to really learn more about Blog Talk and make use of it. And it's probably a question of, you know, money, not, you know, things costing more and them not being able to pass on the, you know, the charges. It's happening everywhere else. My regular Yahoo Mail, I can't get like a page where it shows all the mail that is coming in. Now it's divided. It's divided into three because the last third is all advertising. And they seem to be compressing things so much that it fragments everything, and it then it doesn't work at all.
Right. Well, yeah, it's, you're kind of at the mercy of these companies that decide to do what they want to do in terms of how they construct the sites. And I agree, Blog Talk Radio was really a lot easier. It was easier to find shows. It was much better. It was kind of sloppy back. I think I started listening in like 2011. I thought it was a bit of a sloppy interface, but I think it was way easier to find shows by time. You could search by time, which you can't do anymore. And you have to go page through all these lists now of shows to find a show oftentimes, unless you know the name of the show that you're looking for. So it is very difficult, but anyway, we're glad you're here.
36 options, now it's 12.
Yeah.
It's just not user friendly.
No, and it's too many.
Sorry.
That's okay. No, I was going to just say it's too few headings for all the shows that exist. But go ahead, because we want to take your question.
Well, you know what? Maybe send this one to the higher ups and let them know, because even with programs like Scott, who used to be on 3 times a week, and he had a spiritual day and then 2 days for books, now they have him hidden away under hobbies for books, which is also interviews, and they are great interviews, but you can hardly find him.
Wow.
And they've lost a lot of, broadcasters, a lot of people who were, doing programs before because of these things. So,
right.
My question,
everything going with you?
Very big.
Story. Otherwise.
Yeah, no work. Something got in between. I don't know what. Nothing that I knowledgely did wrong, consciously did wrong. And I don't think anything went wrong. It's things are going very difficult. And I was wondering about the karmic number, which you did explain. It was a 33, which will double up in November this year to 66. What does that mean?
What does the doubling of your karmic number mean? First, really want to. What happened at 33, Deanna?
33. I'm trying to think what happened at 33. Trying to think of what age it, what day it was, like 83, probably.
Yeah, that would have been.
What's your birthday?
11/8/40.
Okay, 82. I know what happened because I am 49. 82, what happened is I had like a 4-month standstill, a challenge, which I won. So that would have been like 82.
That would have been 82. Yeah, and it was 82. 49 minus 82, plus there's a 9-month window. So it would be 82, 83, because you're born at the end of the year in November. So
right. There was something. It was a challenge at work. I was working for the airlines. Somebody said something that wasn't true, and I fought back, and I won. Took me several months, but I did get, re-vindicated, and that was okay. But I don't know what's going to happen at this 66, because I'm sort of like at the end of what people consider a professional career term.
Well, Deanna, you're about to experience the doubling effect of your karma, because your karmic energy, it was at 33. Now that's how many years of karma you have accumulated over several different lifetimes. And considering that one lifetime has to be somewhat concentrated, so all of your past lives you have, immediately speaking, 33 years of karma that you were working through. The fact that you're about to turn 66 is naturally the definition that your 33 is now overlapping again, 33. So you've gone through two full cycles of a karmic lump of years. And not only that, but when we look at this year, you were born in 49. Now, until November occurs of 2015, we calculate the year 49 below the year 2014. So we have the year 2014, and we put below that 1949. The alignment of the 4 and the 9 equals your year itself. In other words, the 4 of 2014 and the 9 of 1949 becomes essentially the year you were born. So that's important, because this alignment suggests that you're in a difficult but yet significant conflict of your life. And the fact that you're 65, which is an 11, and amounts to your month. So it's you're kind of going back and rebirthing, but in the aspect of rebirthing, it's like you're going back to get through the second layer of your karma. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to go through another 33 years of karma, because every time when we hit our second cycle, in your case, 66, you're actually, this could be a great renewal. So the troubles and tribulations you're going through could be coming to a head, you know, like a climax of any plot development. You're at that climax of your karma, where there's going to be a kind of resolution and more of a gradual easing into a better life within this lifetime. The idea that you're born in 49 is of great hope, because 9 is the eternal number, your master number 6. There's that divine eye, why you are so drawn to metaphysical, astral, spiritual, psychic elements is somewhat accountable to the fact that you are a master number 6, third eye, composed of a 33, which is a very mystical age, the age of Christ when he died. A lot of our entertainers die at 33. A lot of people who come to bring joy to the earth. You know, we look at people like John Belushi and even this Chris Farley, just two common names. But a lot of famous people die tragically at 33. It's a very mystical number in some respects. But then again, 11 is a dangerous number. It can be very potentially dangerous. So we have 11, 22, 33, that kind of thing, where the multiples of 11 have a strong duality. It's clearly a black and white issue. But in your respect, and because you have an 8 in your day, which is a highly transcendent number, so 8s want to teach, they want to instruct. Eights potentially are powerful people because they want to be leaders, and it's a rebirth sign, Diana, as well.
Oh boy, I lost you again. I know that you're there, and I hope you're going to come back. But I lost you again in the meantime. There you are again.
Okay, hi.
Now, right? Yeah, I lost you again for like about 30 seconds. After Neil was talking about the aides and the leaders, and then it just went blank.
Oh, well, what I was saying when we were cut off, the 8 also promotes the idea of money. Now, I know you're struggling with money issues and issues, but you see, that's because your 8 is beside the number 11. And because that number 11 holds a certain power in your journey of life, you're still obviously working out the ins and outs of karma as you move through the planet and into your 66th year on this earth, this lifetime. So karma continues to follow you, but like I said, it will become gradually easier for you.
So she can expect some relief at 66 or within a 9-month window, hopefully.
Hopefully, yes. I mean, by theory, yes. So, you know, Diana, she mentioned that Blog Talk Radio saved her life. Yeah. She was very depressed. Of course, what you want to avoid, Diana, beyond any measure, is depression. You want to stay out of that as much as you can. You don't want to start thinking about things like suicide and dark things. You want to stay in the attitude of enlightenment as best you can, while you're also physically doing everything you can within your lifetime to better yourself. So it's a,
yeah, like, when I say depression, I mean being discouraged, because the events that happened to me were completely unfair, and they stayed that way because I received no support. I wanted to share something with you. Someone said this to me. This person lives in New Zealand. And I said, okay, the 7 years of, you know, thin cows, the 7 years of fat cows, as the Bible says. And she said, well, in Indian astrology, there is something else that is actually 7.5 years. And I can't remember the name, but it's Rama Radha Sata, something like that. You might recognize what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
have you heard that concept before?
I mean,
yeah, because the element goes deep in time, and we're almost ready to depart in our time zone here, because we're almost going to be cut off. But the attitude of seven is a sacred number. So in that area of seven, we even have 7 years of tribulation split by 3.5 years. 7 years, the theory of it involves every layer and aspect of our consciousness, even when we go into the seventh chakra from first to seventh chakra. So the seven is a sacred number, not only in all forms of religion, it's sacred. Very rarely does seven hold a negative connotation, unless it's in the plot development of something that is considered to be redemption. Then seven can play a powerfully dark number, but it's basically for the ultimate triumph of what we would stereotypically say is redemption, transcending into a higher zone.
Okay. I had never heard of that concept. It's 7.5 years in the Hindu, in the Vedic astrology. And seven to me made sense, because it was 7 years from the day that happened until June 21st this year, 7 years. The lady told me, no, you got a little bit longer to go. It's another about a half a year.
And so it's
a Vedic chart made.
So the interesting part, I guess, would be that it's kind of coinciding with the 33,
yeah,
doubling. That is, you know, significant for sure.
Yeah, exactly. It's 7 years plus the time in between November 8th backwards to June 21st. Yeah, about pretty much 7.5 years.
Yeah. Well, exactly. But you see, your June 21st occupies another mystical number in your element, which is 9. And it's just a broken up aspect of it. But yes, you're even though your karmic number is 6 and your life goes in increments of 6, 7 would be considered your first year of rebirth.
Yeah, and one more thing, my cousin's birthday is June 21st, and it's the day that the woman hit me and then accused me of hitting her. And another thing is, June 21st is a very holy day for the Incas. It's usually the Inti Raymi, which is the closest day to the sun, the solstice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, Diana, thank you for sticking with us today and for updating me in chat. I appreciate it.
I will write you. I will write you. Thank you, Wilbur.
No, yeah, thank you. You know, you have no idea how funny those things are to me. And when I saw the email that you sent me, I hadn't noticed my error. And I was like, what is she talking about? And then when I saw it, I thought, oh my God, what she must have thought. I thought about all the scenarios that run through your head. Like, does Kristen even know who she's writing to? Or what?
Oh, yeah. It's just that I'm very mercurial. Just like Mercury, I break up into thousands of pieces and then I come back again. And it takes somebody as, you know, as mercurial to, you know, get me. It's just not easy. So thank you so much for being there, Kristen.
You're welcome.
Neil, and I hope you get this situation solved with Blog Talk, because like I said, this is not the only show. There are several shows that are going through this, and people are bewildered. You know, they just
Especially, it's upsetting. And when you're trying to have a professional show, and then this is what goes out is, you know, broken audio and not being able to get on the air and dropping calls. It's just not, you know, the best image that's going forth. But
record your output, not what you're doing, but what is coming out. Just keep a recorder by there, and send it to them. You know,
that's a good idea.
Plus, they need to reimburse you or, you know, compensate you for the time, because these are paid into them. So
I agree.
All the best.
Take care.
Thank you, Deanna.
All right. We're back on there on Monday. Hopefully, we're going to be having a smooth broadcast. So we invite you all to join us then. Thanks so much. Bye.